we all have life and we all have breath. We all have the opportunity right now to write our own obituary. It's not too late. The Apostle Paul had no regrets about writing his obituary. He said that the time of my departure is at hand. The word departure was a Greek word that was used of a ship that was in the harbor. And this word departure meant to loose the ropes. And that once you loose the ropes on the ship would sail out to sea. Paul says, the time for me to sail off to a world unknown.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Paul, A Life Dominated by the Will of God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Paul, A Life Dominated by the Will of God.
A disciple of Jesus Christ, it didn't come easy. As the songwriter said, nobody told me the road would be easy. I don't believe he's brought me this far to leave me. You got to fight. And you got to fight the good fight. There's children in this community that need to be educated. We need to fight the good fight. There's people in this community that are afraid to walk the streets. We need to fight the good fight. There are lost people that are dying and going to hell every day. We need to fight the good fight. What is the good fight? See, once you identify God's will for your life, then you start fighting for that cause. You start fighting the good fight. David, when he was sent to take some supplies to his brothers out on the battlefield, his brothers came and said, "Oh man, what are you doing out here? Here you come. How come you're not home watching them sheep?" And David saw this big 9-foot giant out there selling wolf tickets to God's people. And David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is getting in the face of God's people?" And when we walk out this door of this church, there are uncircumcised Philistines. When we walk out the doors of our house, there are uncircumcised Philistines. That's the good fight. When we fight against that uncircumcised Philistine, that one who's taunting and destroying the armies of the living God, then that's when we're fighting the good fight. Paul says, I've agonized. Man, there's a whole lot that needs to be done. There's a whole lot that I got to do. And I've taken every opportunity that I can to fight this good fight. When you come to the end, that if you were on death row and you knew that tomorrow, you know, I was meditating on my message this morning and I sat in my study and I began to think, you know, it's one thing to get sick and have to go through like some illness and a prolonged time of suffering, whatever the case might be. But, you know, it's a completely different thing to sit there and think about tomorrow. Jesus thought this and Paul thought this, that tomorrow or in a couple days, I'm going to be dead. I'm going to be dead. And there's nothing else I can do. Have I fought the good fight? You can't fight the good fight when you close your eyes in death. You can't fight it. But while you got health and strength in your body, you can keep on fighting the good fight. And you can do the will of God. And Paul says that I fought the good fight. The second thing we see is that he finished the course. Look what it says here. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I left my friends and kindred bound for the promised land. The grace of God on me, the Bible in my hand. In distant lands I've trod, crying sinner, come to God. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Paul said, I'm on the battlefield and I haven't turned back. But it's been, since I started on the battlefield, it's been full speed ahead. Now, in his name, sang the song, O Holy Night. Wonderful song. Powerful song. But let me tell you something that you might not know about the man who wrote the song, O Holy Night. That he was put out or rejected from the church because he turned his back and followed after another way. Wow. You mean to tell me that a man who wrote such a powerful song that we sing at Christmas, that if you even go into the shopping stores, that you will hear O Holy Night playing. And such a beautiful song that talks about how Christ was born. The man who penned that song turned his back on the faith. Wow. That's deep to me. That means that's something that all of us have the potential to do. How many people that I've seen? People in your family, relatives, that at one time they sat here in these pews to hear the word of God. And now they're no longer connected with the body of faith. They're no longer connected with Christ. Paul said that I've finished the course. And not only did he say that I've finished the course, but look at this. He said that I kept the faith. I kept the faith. And I wanted to understand a little bit more about what this word faith meant. And so I went to a Greek scholar by the name of Linsky. And this is what Linsky said. Linsky said that when it says he kept the faith, that meant he guarded his personal faith against temptation and against doubt. That he guarded his personal faith. That he didn't allow the things of this world to turn his faith away from God. The scripture says one thing about Lot's wife. After we read the account in Genesis 19, the New Testament says one thing about Lot's wife, and you know what it says? Remember Lot's wife. And that's all that it says. Remember Lot's wife. And why does it say remember Lot's wife? Because when God had taken Lot and his family out of Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, you leave and you don't turn back. And they left and they began to go to the place that God was calling them. They began to go to the place of God's will for their life. And Lot's wife turned back and turned into a pillar of salt. Remember Lot's wife. There's no turning back. There's no turning back. That if you have a life that's dominated by the will of God, that you will be pressing on full speed ahead. That you won't turn back. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, Paul says, run so that you might obtain the prize. Now, notice what he didn't say there. He didn't say, run so you could win the prize. Prize already been won. Prize already been won. Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again, ascended to heaven. Prize already been won. You know all you got to do? There's only one thing that you got to do. One thing. And that's stay in the race. That's all you got to do, is stay in the race. But yet and still, we see people falling off, sliding back, turning around all the time. And at that point, they miss the will of God for their life. The final thing that Paul says, he says in verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered up. The time of my departure is at hand. The ship, the rope to the ship has been cut. I'm ready to sail off to unknown territory. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." He had fortune. There was fortune that awaited him. "Now, when I met my Savior, I met him with a smile. He healed my wounded spirit and owned me as his child. Around the throne of grace, he appoints my soul a place, and I'm on the battlefield for my Lord." Will you be sitting around the throne? Will you be around the throne of grace? Jesus, or Paul says here that there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That word crown, talked about it a little bit last week. The Greek word stephanos. It was a plaited thorn that they gave to the victor of an athletic competition. And even those who were victorious in military campaigns, they would give them this wreath and they would put it on. And that was a stephanos. That was the victor's crown. Now, Paul said, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul says in verse 24, "Know you not that they who run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run, so stay in the race, that you might obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a wreath," a corruptible wreath. A wreath that, you know, this is the same, as I was studying, this is the same thing that they put over Jesus' head when they crowned him. It was this stephanos. Now, what's one thing about the stephanos? Is that eventually it would wilt and decay and perish. Paul says that people who run in a worldly race run for a crown that's going to perish. He says that we run in a race for a crown that is incorruptible, that will never perish. That when you get to heaven, that there will be a crown there for you that does not fade away. Will you be able to take your crown? Will you be able to take your stephanos into the presence of Jesus Christ? Or will yours? Or will yours crumble here on this earth? Is your crown corruptible? Is your crown going to turn to ashes? Or do you have an incorruptible crown? One day you will stand before the Lord. And you will stand before him with crowns or no crowns. 1 Corinthians 3 says that you'll be saved. That all you got to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you'll be saved. But there's a whole lot of folks whose works are going to burn up and crumble. And would to God that we serve him in such a way that our works last when we stand in his presence. There was a little girl. She was looking at the baby Jesus. And she saw him lying in the manger. And she said to her mother, "He looks the same every year. When is he going to grow up?" Paul knew the reality that Christ was growing up. In 2 Timothy 4, he says, "I'm going to stand before him one day. Not as a babe in the manger." He says, "I'm going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's going to give me a crown." You know, there's a whole lot of things that I want to be approved for. And there's some things that you get disapproved for. And you know, it really bothers you a little bit. But then again, you can live with it or live without it. Like if somebody says, you know, you should have did this way. You know, I don't like the way you did that. You know, it might bother you in your spirit. You know, you might get a little upset about that. But can you imagine standing for Jesus Christ and for Christ to say, "Yeah, you're saved. You're saved. The Bible makes it clear you're saved." But for Christ to say, "You have nothing to offer me." That you have absolutely nothing to offer me. Wow, that'd be devastating. I mean, I want to hear "well done" from a lot of people. But you can be assured of the fact that the one person that I want to hear say "well done" is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the one person I want to hear say. And can you imagine that will be something that will ring in your ears? Don't get me wrong. Heaven is going to be a perfect place for the saints. Heaven is going to be a place where there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand that there are pleasures forevermore. So you know, we're going to be overwhelmed with that. But I believe that somewhere in the recesses of our mind, that a thought will be there that I'm here, but I could have did more. I'm here, but I didn't do enough. I'm here, but I didn't do all that I could do. Somebody likened it to graduation day. That when you graduate from high school or college, that you walk across that stage and you get that diploma. But then there's a lot of joy in getting that diploma. But some people graduate magna cum laude, and some people graduate summa cum laude, right? Then you know what they say. Some people graduate o laude, and some people graduate praise the laude. So, you know, I guess the people that just get their degree, you know, they might just say, "I'm graduating praise the laude," you know. But can you imagine how it would feel to graduate at the top of the class, knowing that you did your very best and you gave everything that you could, and you were recognized for that? And I believe that's the way it's going to be in heaven. That if we will serve him, and see, you know, the beautiful thing about this, it's not about education. It's not about economic status. You could be the poorest, uneducated person on the face of the earth. And when you stand in the presence of God, that you can have the greatest reward that anybody can ever have. And you know, we are the ones that write that script right now. We write the script. Nobody's writing this script for you. You are writing it for yourself. And so Paul says that when he came to the end, he says that I know that by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit that I wrote a script, and that there's a crown. I don't believe he's cocky when he says this. I don't believe that he's being egotistical. He's saying that I know, as a result of my relationship with Christ and my service for God, he said, I know that there's a crown that's laid up for me. When you come to the end, will you have that confidence? Will you have the confidence that there's a crown See, if you got that confidence that there's a crown, then, you know, you're ready to go. I mean, you know, we might want to stay here a little while longer, right? But in our hearts, we know that, hey, man, there's something great that's waiting for me. I hope that when I get to heaven, man, there's something great that's waiting for me. But it's all predicated on what I do now. And that I can go with my full force and I can go with all my heart right now. Man, I read in the Courier last week something that just broke my heart. And I almost sat there and just wept as I read it. As I read about Pastor Eddie Long and how that his wife had filed for divorce and how that he's stepping away from his church. Man, that thing broke my heart, man. I used to watch this brother. My wife would tell me to turn him off. I used to watch this brother every Sunday night and look at him and see how God was using him. How God was using him in a great and mighty way. And then Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 7. What kind of script are you writing? As I close today, I want to close with a letter from a pastor in Africa. And he wrote this letter to show his commitment to Christ. And he says this: I am a member of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I will not look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. My past is redeemed. My present is exciting. My future is secure. I will no longer abide at low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, dwarf goals, and cheap grace. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I do not have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I'll now live in him, lean on him, love through him, and labor with him. My pace is set, my gait is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions dear, my guide reliable, and my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I will not give up, back up, let up, shut up until I have preached up, prayed up, paid up, stored up, and stayed up for the cause of Christ. I must go until he returns, give until I drop, preach until all know, and when he comes, when he comes, he will have no problem recognizing me. For you see, I'm a member of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. That's a person that was dominated by the will of God.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Never Let Them See You Sweat. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Paul, A Life Dominated by the Will of God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Paul, A Life Dominated by the Will of God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Paul, A Life Dominated by the Will of God. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.